Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And as all of you well know, that this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. So tonight I figured that we would look at some more things that would coincide with resurrection and all of that kind of thing. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we'll look at verse number 7. And we'll look at, there's 7 Jewish feasts. We'll look at those just for a minute and show how they correspond with the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and He fulfills every one of them. In the Old Testament, it's an amazing thing how anybody could not be a Bible believer, not be a Christian, and look at some of these things and see how this thing lays out. The Old Testament written in the book of Leviticus, and Jesus comes 4,000 years later and fulfills every one of them to the day. And it's just an amazing thing. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. And it says, the first part of verse 7 says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even, here's our statement, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Notice, Jesus Christ, our Passover. Well, this year, in 2019, if you're watching this, 2019, Passover is going to be the 19th. What is that, Friday? The 19th will be Friday. That's actual Passover. Jews celebrate that every year. To them, it is, Passover is the 14th day after the first full moon, or the new moon rather, after the vernal equinox, I believe is how you say it. Anyway, the Jews have it all figured out. Their calendars are 28 days long. Every month is 28 days. They operate off the moon. We operate off the sun. We go from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. They go from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So in other words, they start Passover, it would be Thursday evening at 6 p.m., and it'll go all the way to Friday at 6 p.m. will be their Passover. And so anyway, now let's look at some things. Let's look at these feasts for a second. If you want to look at these, they're found in Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus 23 is where these feasts are found. Let me go over these real quick because I want to get into and sort of focus in on the Passover because that's what we're talking about. Resurrection Sunday this coming weekend. Passover is on the 14th day. I think the Jewish calendar is Nisan. I think it's what it is. Anyway, it's only for that one day. And then you'll find in Leviticus 23, the Lord's Passover, the 14th day. Then on the 15th day, the day after, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What they would do, they would go into their house, they would clean out all the leaven. Leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. And so they'd clean out all their leaven, just to have something to relate it to. It would be sort of like yeast, something that makes rolls, bread, rice. They would get that leaven out of the house for 7 days, from the 15th to the 21st. And that was what they called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That 15th day, which was the first day of unleavened bread, the day after Passover, is a Sabbath. This is where we went into, remember we dealt with that 3 days and three night thing on a Wednesday night when the Lord died and all that kind of thing. This is where a lot of people read the Bible, they get confused. They see Sabbath and they automatically think Saturday. Because remember in the Gospels it says they had to hurry up and get him off the cross before the Sabbath. Well, it wasn't talking about Saturday, it was talking about that first day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath unto the Jews. Saturday is a weekly Sabbath. This is a yearly Sabbath. Then, the first, says, I think Leviticus 23, if somebody's there, you can look, the first fruits is on the morrow after the Sabbath. So after that Saturday was the first fruits. And now, let's think about this. He dies on Passover. Jesus Christ dies on Passover. He is our Passover lamb. Feast of Unleavened Bread, he's in the tomb. The first day on the morrow after the Sabbath is Sunday. First fruits. He raises from the dead and becomes the first fruits of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. Matter of fact, you can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, what verse? Verse 20, Christ now is risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. How in the world can you piece all that together? You say that Bible was man-made, man-written. Well, I got news for you. Somebody was holding the pen when they was writing.
Right.
You ever notice this? A lot of the educators, you know, especially those that believe in evolution and all this kind of thing, they said, oh, that Bible was written by man. Well, who wrote your textbooks? It's an amazing thing. He gets up out of the grave on the Feast of First Fruits and becomes the first fruits of the resurrection on that exact day. And then, 50 days after Passover is what they call Pentecost. Penta means 50. 50th day. That's in Acts chapter number 2. Holy Spirit comes down. And they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And then, there is a large gap. These are what they call spring feasts. Spring, or April, May, all of these. Then there's a gap of June, July, August. 3 months of a gap where nothing happens. And then, September, you have the Feast of Trumpets. These are what they call fall feasts. Here's your spring feast. Here's your fall feast. September. Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They all coincide. Now get it. You've got all these feasts together in the spring. Then you got a large gap. And then you got more feasts. Watch. Jesus dies on Passover. Gets up on the first day of the first Feast of First Fruits. Then you got a large gap. And then you got the Feast of Trumpets, which correlates with the rapture of the church. What's going to happen at the rapture? A trumpet's going to sound. What do they do at the Feast of Trumpets? They blow a trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first, so on and so forth. You got 7 years of tribulation. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was when the high priest went behind into the Holy of Holies. One time a year, he'd go back there and he'd sprinkle the blood. And for the forgiveness of the sins of the nation of Israel, well, guess what's going to happen? On the Day of Atonement, Jesus Christ is coming. The high priest is coming to this world, going to go into that temple and sit down. And according to Romans chapter number 11, Romans chapter number 11, Israel, their sins will be forgiven. Isn't that odd? That the high priest comes on the Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ rides again, Romans chapter 11, and forgives the sins of the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement. Second coming correlates with that. The Feast of Tabernacles is where the nation of Israel, where they celebrate when they came out of Egyptian bondage. When they were rolling around in the wilderness, what did they sleep in? They slept in tents. Booths, what they call booths. And that's what they did in the wilderness. And so the Jews, when they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, they gather together in booths, tents, and for a whole week. Tabernacles, that represents the 1,000-year millennium reign, where the nation of Israel will gather together in the city of Jerusalem. And Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. I mean, you can't get any better than that. Leviticus 23 gives you all seven of those. 4,000 years later, here comes Jesus Christ and fulfills every one of them to the day. Well, not these yet, but he's coming. Mm-hmm. And he will fulfill those. Now, I'm not, I've never set a date in my life when the Lord's coming. I have no idea. I just know the Feast of Trumpets is in September, the time of the harvest. Come forth. I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard if he'd come tonight. Oh, you don't have to wait till September. But it's just something about it. I don't know. Now, I want to look and sort of focus in on Christ the Passover just for a few minutes and give you some things that might be of interest to you about Passover. Look at Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. And this is important because a lot of times on Sunday mornings when you're preaching, you really don't have time to go into a lot of this. That's why I enjoy Wednesday night so much. I enjoy Sundays as well, but Wednesday nights you're able to really focus in on some of these verses. Exodus chapter number 12, and look at verse number 1, Exodus 12 and verse 1. Now, when I'm reading this about a lamb, I want you to picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Remember, I told you, Passover, first month. This is nice. It's our April. It's our fourth month. It's their first. This will be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, thou shalt take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. Therein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in the night, roast the fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and I'm trying to get back to where I want to go here. Let's see, verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, so and so forth. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against them all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. Now here's where they get Passover. And the blood shall be to you for a token to upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Lord comes through the land, and so I think I showed you this before, but they were told to kill that lamb. And what they were told to do is on that door, they were to strike the blood. Here, here, and here. On that night, the night he dies. Isn't that something? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's how you get saved. Jesus comes when he sees the blood. If he don't see the blood, everything else is going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. when he comes. Now, I want you to look at some interesting things. I got to hurry. In Exodus chapter 12, he says, in verse 5, he says, your lamb should be without blemish, a male the first year. Well, I'll give you the verses because I have time to turn to them, but 1 Peter 1:19 says, Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Right.
Yep.
Now, verse 5, he says, take out from the sheep. Now, Isaiah 53 says he was brought as a sheep to the slaughter. Isn't that something? Isaiah 53 says Jesus was brought as a sheep, led to the slaughterhouse. Dumb before his ears, so he opened not his mouth. Did you hear Jesus open his mouth? Nope, didn't open his mouth. Isaiah 53 came to pass on that particular day. Now, let me show you something. Bear Herod. In verse number, let's see, where it says in verse 5. The first year's sheep of goats. Okay. Where was it that it said it's supposed to take it on the 10th day? Oh, verse 3. In the 10th day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father. Let me tell you what they did. On the 10th day, before Passover, on the 10th, they'd take that lamb, and they would examine that lamb and make sure there wasn't any spots, any blemishes on him, before they killed him on the 14th day. Well, Jesus, do you remember Palm Sunday? Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the 10th day. What is he riding into Jerusalem for? He rides into Jerusalem. He goes through 5 mock trials. And Pilate says, I find no fault in him.
Amen.
He's examined and he's found without spot and without blemish.
Amen.
He rides in on the 10th day and he's crucified on the 14th. Just like Exodus 12 says. Isn't that something? Now, here's something else I got to tell you in passing. Remember, when he comes in, before Passover, they got to get all the leaven out of their house. Before Passover, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming. They got to get all the leaven out of their house. Jesus rides in on the 10th day, goes into the temple. Anybody remember what he does?
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the temple, and they're selling and money changers. He goes in, throws the tables over. And cleans the leaven out of his house. He cleans his own house up and gets the leaven out before he's crucified. It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. Now, you think about this. Just in passing. The 10th day to the 14th day, it's 4 days, right? Okay. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day. Before Jesus is crucified. Now, I'm out of room on my board, but here, all the way back to Adam, is 4,000 years. Jesus Christ was held for 4,000 years. And he shows up. And that's 4 days. The 10th, the 14th, 4,000 years, here he shows up. It's amazing. Now, in verse number 6, and ye shall keep it up to the 14th of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what they did? Pilate says, it beholds your king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be upon us and our children.
Right.
That's found in Matthew 27. And this is what it says. Matthew 27:25. And answered all the people. And said, his blood be on us and on our children. All the people was gathered. The whole assembly of Israel was gathered together. And they killed him in the evening. You know what time he died?
Mm-hmm.
Died at 3 p.m. in the evening. Then, let's see, I'm trying to, look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, eat not of it raw, nor sopped it with water. Y'all remember, this is Matthew 27 as well. Jesus cried, I thirst. Well, they wouldn't give him water. They gave him vinegar to drink. Why? Because Exodus 12 says you don't put water on the sacrifice. Is that amazing or what? Now, then verse number 9, it also says it has to be roasted with fire. Well, in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 27 says when Jesus died, he took your sins down to hell where the fire is. Amazing thing. That book right there is amazing. Now, here's just a few things that's interesting. You're still in Exodus? Go to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Let me show you something about here. Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Look at verse, Exodus 29, we're fixing to talk about, here's the first high priest. What do you have to do to become a high priest? Well, here we go. Exodus 29, just look at verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. That's what you got to do. Look at verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. Y'all see that? High priest had to be washed with water. Before he could become a high priest, he had to be washed with water. Anybody remember before Jesus' crucifixion, when he was 30 years old, when he started his earthly ministry at 30? He died at 33, about 33 and a half years. He was about 33 and a half years old. But age of 30, he comes down to John the Baptist. John says, behold the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And John baptizes Jesus. And John tried to get out of it. He says, you need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus is like, no, you've got to baptize me. I have to be washed with water. Jesus wasn't being baptized to show, like we are, to show a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. He ain't died yet. He can't show a picture of death, burial, and resurrection yet because he ain't died yet. What he's doing, and he's sure not being baptized because he was a sinner.
Right.
So why was he being baptized? He was being baptized because he had, if he's going to become our high priest, he had to be washed with water. Now, notice verse number 7 for time's sake. Time's sake. Verse 7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Well, he was washed with water by John the Baptist, but do y'all remember just a few days before he was crucified, a woman came in and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, anointed him with oil.
Right.
Why? He's become our high priest. And a lot of people don't realize, I wonder why that happened. Why this woman comes in, anoints the body of the Lord and all of this. Because it's fulfillment of Exodus 29. Now, let me give you just a few other things. In Luke 19, Jesus rides the donkey in, remember I told you, on the 10th day. On a donkey that nobody had ever sat on before. Now, in Jerusalem, the Jews do not realize that Jesus is the Messiah.
Right.
They do not realize he's the Passover lamb. So sometimes we Gentiles, we have to put our minds in the situation of the day. This happened every year. In the city of Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, there's 12 gates. Every year on the 10th day, they're bringing sheep and lambs in the sheep gate, and it's the high priest standing there at the sheep gate, get the picture, examining these sheep, looking them over. While they're doing that, Jesus is riding in on a donkey through the eastern gate. And everybody, their focus is over here, and everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, do y'all remember? High priest says, would y'all tell them to pipe down? We're trying to find the lamb we're going to sacrifice in four days. Tell them to pipe down. Remember? And they said, if I tell them to pipe down, the rock will cry out.
Amen.
If they don't praise me, the rocks will. And they're saying, well, y'all settle down. We're trying to find a lamb. Y'all, this is serious, right? We got to find a Passover lamb in 4 days. Would y'all please be quiet? Those high priests did not realize that the man riding on that donkey was going to become the Lamb of God. That's going to die right here. And so they're expecting all this on the 10th day. Jesus is riding in on the 10th day. And of course, he cleans out the leaven out of his own house, like I just told you. He goes through those 5 mock trials. And in the middle of the night, and Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Now, here's something else that's interesting. In one of the Gospels, it talks about the high priest. His name was Caiaphas. Caiaphas the high priest. They brought him to Jesus and to see him first. And Caiaphas says, are you the Son of God? And of course, Jesus, you know, spins him around and tongue ties him, you know, and that's just how the Lord does. Usually the Lord always answered a question with a question. And Caiaphas got so mad. If you remember this in the Bible, I can find it real quick. Caiaphas stood up and ripped his robe. Jewish custom, if a high priest stands up and rips his robe, he vacates the office. Well, if Caiaphas has vacated the office, he's standing there looking at the next high priest. I mean, all this stuff's in the Bible, and he's ripping his clothes, getting so mad, he rips his clothes. Matter of fact, I think it was in the Passion Play we saw in Eureka Springs, where he stood up and ripped his garment there, and standing there looking at the next high priest that's going to take over. That's an amazing thing. Now, the Roman crucifixion, all right, Jewish, on Passover, they had a 9 a.m. sacrifice. They called the morning sacrifice. And then they had a 3 p.m., what they call evening sacrifice. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. at the morning sacrifice. He dies at the evening sacrifice, 3 p.m. Now, if you want some more information on that 3 p.m. thing, it's found in Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, and I'll just so y'all know, I ain't making this up. Sometimes people look at me like I'm making something up as I go. Acts chapter number 3. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. If y'all remember, we read, and when we talk about those 3 days, 3 nights, Jesus gave up the ghost in the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. And the way you count that is from 6 from 6 in the morning, that would be the third hour. 12 noon is the sixth hour. Remember, it turned dark from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Well, that's 12 to 3 in the middle of the day. And he gives up the ghost at 3 p.m. Well, this is, they have the hour of prayer, the evening sacrifice. That is, that's what James and John, or Peter and John were doing at the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. There it is in Acts chapter 3. And so Jesus crucified in the morning sacrifice. Now, here's something else you have to wrap your mind around. They're crucifying the Lord on the cross, but these high priests are in the temple, killing a lamb for the sins of the nation of Israel. At the same time they're crucifying him, they're killing a lamb at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they kill another one at 3 p.m. Little did they know that hanging right there out on the cross was their substitute and their payment. Where they don't have to do that anymore. It's an amazing thing. They're in the temple, killing a lamb. Jesus dies. The veil in the temple rents while they're in there. And no doubt, they're thinking, oh, we're fixing to die. Because this thing is laid open now, but the Ark of the Covenant is showing. They're like, oh my goodness, we're fixing to die. Now I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going to tell you that. But they had to know something has changed. The centurion outside says, truly, this must have been the Son of God. There's too much going on out here. Truly, this must have been the Son of God. You remember Exodus 12, the plagues of Moses? The last plague was the death of the, anybody remember?
Firstborn.
Jesus was God's only begotten Son. The firstborn dies. You say, well, he's not only the firstborn, he's the only born. He's the firstborn. I'm a son of God too.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you are.
Amen.
But he was the only begotten. That's why it's so important. Sometimes when you're in these other versions, they leave out that only be. Sometimes, just in passing, you look at it on your own. Some of these other versions, they'll say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't his one and only Son. I'm a son. He wasn't his one and only. He was his only begotten Son. That's a big difference. Anyway, the firstborn. God lost his firstborn son. And just all of this stuff that goes into Jesus Christ. They bury him, and of course the Feast of Unleavened Bread is going on. No, and he gets up. We dealt with this a few minutes ago at the first. He gets up out of the grave on the first the Feast of First Fruits, which is that Sunday morning. Early that Sunday morning. Now, you know, somebody said,